I did not realize I wrote all the things I wrote until I said it out loud, and I did not realize I had the emotions that I had until I said them out loud, so there was a lot of crying.
It was almost like experiencing the book for the first time and recognizing the point I was trying to make.
I'm a big music nerd, and so coming to a real studio to read my own book was pretty much a dream come true.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet Walayla Nahanda, Olivia A. Cole, and Stephanie Kienert. Press play to hear what it was like for these authors to record the audiobooks of their new works for young adults, and discover who went to a Hozier performance in preparation for recording. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Walayla Nahanda, author of Bless the Blood. I wrote my book because I wanted Black cancer patients to be able to have a place in which they could experience the entirety of emotion that comes with cancer, whether that be rage, pity, sorrow, hopelessness, joy, hopefulness, community, whatever that may be. I think oftentimes patients are told how we're supposed to navigate cancer, how we're supposed to navigate a medical system, and I wanted a place for sort of my humanity to shine through and other people to see that in whatever way that they could relate to. I was inspired by Audre Lorde's The Cancer Journals and A Burst of Light. Those were the only two pieces of literature by a Black cancer patient that were available to me when I first got diagnosed. And I think because of that and seeing that it was about, I think, 40 years ago when those were published, it made me start writing my story down because I felt like there needed to be an update to Audre's work. And so I just hope to only just be in that lineage. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be a purging, because I did not realize I wrote all the things I wrote until I said it out loud, and I did not realize I had the emotions that I had until I said them out loud. So there was a lot of crying, a lot of ugly crying, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of anger. I just felt like I was able to let go of a lot of what I wrote down. I think a lot of times when we write as artists, we're writing, it's sort of like in a private conversation. So to be able to say it out loud was expelling a lot of what I think I didn't even realize I was still holding on to. I realized that I had trouble pronouncing Cirque du Soleil. That was a really tough one. I will never put that in a piece of writing ever again in my life. I'm excited that listeners will hear my emotion probably, and that it's a completely different experience than reading a book when you get to hear me go with the motions of experiencing a memoir. So I think just being able to be on that ride alongside me and hear what has impacted me in my own voice, I also think the experience of listening to it will be very different than reading it, just as reading it is a different experience than listening to it. So you sort of get two different realities almost with this book, and that's what I'm really excited about. My favorite section to record was Invisible Heavenly Bodies, which is about my ancestors and calling them in. I felt like there was something really spiritual about a confessional booth that is like when you walk into a studio and you walk into being in a padded room with a microphone, it feels like a confessional, and then being able to call out the names of my ancestors. And it was a really tough day of recording. And so being able to end on that and call them in, I think just really kept me pushing. I prepared for the audiobook recording by going to see Hozier at the Hollywood Bowl. That took me to a different realm, and I said, I want to do that, and it reminded me why I do this, and yeah, shout out to Hozier. If I had to record again, I would bring a blanket with me to the studio. That's probably it. I brought everything else. I would bring a stuffed animal each day. I brought Florida water. I brought a whole bunch of stuff, so I think that would be all. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would cast no one. That might sound cocky, but I think no one could do it like me. So there wouldn't be an audiobook. I could be the only one to tell that story. The last audiobook that I listened to that I loved was Love and Rage by Lamaraud Owens, because I really appreciated how much of an immersive experience the book is. Again, it's one of those books that's very different than reading it versus listening to it. Lamarad just takes such care in having us walk through and move through meditations alongside. Yeah, it's something that you can also consistently return to, which I love when an audiobook can provide that, where it's not only an experience, but also a safekeeping. My favorite place to listen to audiobooks is when I'm on a walk or when I'm on the bus and I'm overstimulated. But usually when I'm doing something else, that's usually it kind of takes me elsewhere. So if I'm on the bus, I tend to just be really overwhelmed. And so I'll just listen to an audiobook. Or when I'm walking, I feel like it makes me a bit more aware of my surroundings in a way. And now listen to a clip from my audiobook.
You have a white blood cell count of 660,000. That is 600% more than normal. You likely have leukemia. You will be getting admitted to the oncology unit, flatlines the room. The doctor darts out as quickly as he says the news. He leaves a nurse trying to hold back her pity but failing miserably. My eyebrows twist into a question mark devoid of panic. I don't know what leukemia is.
Hi, this is Olivia A. Cole, author of Ariel Crashes a Train. I started writing Ariel Crashes a Train after I'd been on my medication for OCD for about a year and the clouds had kind of started to clear, and I was realizing what a mess it was and how much difficulty I'd been living with. And then once I started writing, I realized there was a lot more in my life that was controlling me than OCD. And it was kind of an experience of seeing a lot of interconnected pieces. And I had to write about it. That's what I do. If I had to describe the experience of recording this audiobook in one word, it would be illuminating. It's not really until you have to say it out loud that you kind of really hear what you said. And it was almost like experiencing the book for the first time and recognizing the point I was trying to make. So I feel like I just read this book for the first time. I realized while recording this that the word sieve is a sneaky one. It sure looks like sieve, but it's not. It's sieve. I'm excited that listeners will hear the love between the three main characters. Again, hearing it for the first time myself, I was really just more aware than ever of just how much they love each other. And I think that's really fun and special. I prepared for recording this audiobook by telling my very talkative 6-year-old daughter that we were going to have to chill for a couple hours the day before because she makes me laugh so much and I end up really like being hoarse just from playing with her all day. So yeah, I prepared by toning it down with my kiddo and brewing lots of tea. If I had to record this again, I would bring the green apples that I actually bought for this. I was told by the wonderful Ruth that green apples help, I guess, like saliva production and keep your mouth, you know, in a good place for recording and talking a lot. And I brought one the first day and I forgot them every other day. So I would bring the green apples, a new batch. If I wasn't going to record the audiobook and I got to choose who I would like to do it, Angela Bassett. I think she has such great range and just such a beautiful quality of voice. And now, please listen to a clip from my audiobook.
Every time I leave the kitchen, whether I'm going in or out of the house, it's a rule written in blood. This morning, like every morning, I stare down at the collection of kitchen knives in the drawer by the stove. There are 10 of them, one for each finger, short and long, serrated and not, silver, silver, silver. I know them all well.
Hi, this is Stephanie Kienert, author of Pieces of a Girl. My book is a zine-style YA memoir. It's a book that I've always wanted to write. I've wanted secretly to write my own memoir since I got my first diary when I was 7 years old. But what makes this book special to me is the whole zine style element. As a teenager, I made a lot of zines. And then when I was writing for Rookie magazine, back when it was publishing, like 2011 to 2018, that really brought me back into that mindset, writing about my real life. I worked with illustrators to create visual pieces to go with my writing. And that whole experience just really inspired me to create a more visual memoir. So that's what shaped this book. If I had to describe what it was like to record my book in one word, it would be exciting. I'm a big music nerd, and so coming to a real studio to read my own book was pretty much a dream come true. It was also nerve-wracking in its own way. My book is intense and emotional, but I was really grateful to have a good team to work with, a really fun team to work with, and the experience was like getting to be a one-woman band of sorts for a few days. In the process of recording the audiobook, there were actually quite a few words that I realized that I didn't know how to pronounce or just pronounced in my head incorrectly. But one of the biggest moments was, and let's see if I can say it right, even right now, Cheshire. Cheshire Cat. I don't even know if I'm saying that right now, but certainly when I went out to dinner with my friends after recording and told them that I couldn't pronounce it, they thought it was pretty ridiculous that I couldn't, but it's still hard. I'm excited for readers to hear me read my poetry and zine excerpts from when I was a teenager. I thought that I would feel really awkward about reading them, and I did. I definitely did. But at the same time, again, there's a part of me that goes back to those teenage years that's like really excited that those got recorded and now someone gets to listen to them. So that's the bit I'm most excited about. How did I prepare to record my audiobook? Well, I prepared physically in that on the book director's recommendation, as well as some friends of mine, I got Manuka honey for my voice. And I also brought like cough drops and that sort of thing with me. So that was the physical aspect. But also, this was an emotional book for me. So I put together a little self-care kit, just this little red velvet bag that had like some scented things that I like, some stones that I could hold in my hands or rub if I needed to. I went through my kids' Play-Doh drawer, knowing that Play-Doh has helped some of my friends in anxiety situations. And I actually found this little tiny package of slime that was shaped in a black cat. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. So I brought that. And then I brought a journal so that I could write down what my feelings were and which parts, if any, brought stuff up for me so that then after the recording, I could talk it through with my therapist. I really was like, all right, we're going to go into this curious about our mental health and where we're at with all of this. And with the exception of one section, on the second day of recording, I really didn't need to use anything. And that day I used my black cat slime. Yeah, I felt so prepared that if I had to record again, I don't think I would bring anything else. I think I had it covered. I would still bring it all, though, because I tend to be an over-preparer. If I hadn't recorded this myself, my dream narrator would be Winona Ryder, just because I've always loved her so much since I was probably like 10 years old. And one of my friend's ex-boyfriends was convinced that I sounded and looked like her. So I always took that as a huge compliment. So that's who I'd want to read it. That's also very like 90s punk and goth, I think, of me. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. We moved to Oak Park, Illinois, from St. Louis, Missouri, the summer I turned 8. A couple blocks north of our house, you could stand on the bridge over the Eisenhower Expressway and see the Sears Tower. Downtown Chicago was only 10 miles away. The park down the street from us had the biggest and best-looking sledding hill I'd ever seen, which turned out to be built atop toxic waste from a gas plant.
This is The Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.